right. So I did talk to Carla, by the way. She is apparently traveling back from Honduras right now, so she's unable to join the discussion, but I told her we'd probably be recording it. So that way the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence can, you know, find out what's going on. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Dave Ridley called Free Talk Live a few weeks ago. He's been very excited, as you may know, about New Hampshire Exit, and has been doing various outreach, and called up the show and said he's concerned about the $2,000 cost of having a hearing at the State House. And Aria and I said, well, look, if that's what the issue is that's holding you back from, you know, getting active on this issue, we'll put forward whatever, you know, $2,000 needs to be done. And so that kind of kicked him off into action mode, and he started contacting state reps. And Matt was one of the guys that he talked to, got a positive response. Didn't get much positive response from the other few reps he was able to reach. Didn't have a real good amount of luck reaching them. And then I reached out to both Matt and Mike, who we have here on the call, and Mike told me that he thought it was a good time for this. And, of course, he's been a state rep for how many terms now? Four?
Five? I'm in my fifth term.
Wow, congratulations.
Congrats.
Thanks for your service. So you said that you thought not only was it a good time for this, you know, with the federal government being how it is, but also you thought maybe that you might be able to get some other people on board to support it. So that's where we were. And I said, well, let's all get together and talk about it. And for those that don't know Elliot, he's also on the call. He's an activist, does a lot of stuff with promoting secession, and he's kind of affiliated with the foundation from what I can tell. But if Elliot, if you want to introduce yourself, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm Elliot. I go by Al. I'm the founder, editor-in-chief, director of libertyblock.com, a big pro-freedom, libertarian, voluntarist website focusing mostly on New Hampshire politics. And my biggest focus in the world is state independence for New Hampshire. Almost every article I write and every single book I publish, which is three now, they all end in the same way. And that's why New Hampshire has to secede. So I've done a lot of work on this. I'm super passionate about this, just like the rest of the people here. And I've been asking a few state reps, and I've been blown off every time I ask about a bill. So I'm super happy that Dave Ridley or whoever was able to get Mike and Matt on board to even talk about this, because it would be awesome. And I could imagine the heat that you're going to get, and that's why people are averse to it. But just know that we, a lot of us, Ian and me, we all have pretty good microphones. We all have your back 100%. So Matt, nice to meet you too. Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah, so if you want me to jump in here, sure. I'd be happy to. Yeah, the reason you get pushback is that secession word that is never going to fly particularly well. And that's a message that needs to get changed. And in fact, you know, it's like saying anarchy. You don't want to use that word. Mm-hmm. It's going to turn off anyone that's really interested, possibly interested in making changes, but it's a scary thing. So we don't want to scare off the sheep. We were discussing this a few nights ago with some Republicans, and the mood of the country with all of the stuff that's going on since essentially we're going to blame Biden because we're Republicans. So, and frankly, it's very legitimate. They are stretching very hard on a bunch of issues that are really important to Republicans. Certainly gun rights. If the United States were not united any longer, we would have our own gun laws. And those would be very much not restricted. And so that's a big selling point right there. Just to start things off. The other stuff that they're doing with the idea of having the federal government essentially running elections nationwide, that's a scary, horrifying thing. And, you know, you throw onto that adding D.C. as a state, adding Puerto Rico as a state, packing the Supreme Court. These are all issues that are going to play in very well to a message of, well, what I guess, you know, we really need to work on what the message is. I know Ridley's a good strategist, But those are the things. And frankly, you're going to, you know, I'm going to throw in there one that you're going to hate is, you know, the whole border situation. You know, those, this is not my feeling, but, you know, the atmosphere out there is those dirty Mexicans or Guatemalans or whatever are coming across the border, bringing their COVID with them. It's a bit of nonsense, but, you know, that is a genuine mood that is out there, whether or not it's true and real. You know, that's, if we can take advantage of it, why wouldn't we?
I mean, all of that can be worked out later, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. He's just talking about things that would...
Selling points, right?
Yeah, that would attract Republicans to this. I can tell you that when I've done outreach on this over the years, the responses have been generally positive. Now, when I'm at a Republican event, like I went to some of the Stop the Steal stuff last year, and I was doing secession outreach there, so I was hitting mostly all Republicans, Trump-type Republicans. And besides, like... The only non-positive response I got was, well, what about the military? So that's definitely going to be an objection that we should consider as far as we need to be able to get over that. Elliot, looks like you've thought about that one.
Yeah, in all the articles and in the book I wrote, The Blueprint for Liberty, I kind of gamed this out in my mind. How would it work? If we did this, what would they do? If we did this, what would they do? And as I have in my presentation, which I can present to you guys or send it to you guys or, you know, whatever, the one issue I have not yet worked out, not necessarily military, but it's embargo. Militarily, to be honest, I was pessimistic about it. Throughout writing the whole book and strategizing, I became a little more optimistic about it. Militarily, the U.S. government, the U.S. military cannot defeat us. They would have to either drop a tremendous nuclear bomb and kill New Hampshire and the rest of the world, which they don't want to kill everyone in the world, because it would kill Massachusetts and D.C. and the world. Or they could go door to door and kill every single one of us, which again, physically they can't do. They can't come door to door and kill all of us, they would die. So they militarily, they probably couldn't beat us very easily. They could embargo the hell out of us. And if we succeed and they cut off trade and they don't trade with us and they tell any state that trades with us, like Mass or Maine or any country, that they'll destroy them if they do, that could hurt us because no state in the world may cross the United States unless the U.S. really splits up totally and then they have no power. But the embargo issue, I haven't totally gotten over. Everything else I have a great answer to in my books. I've answered every tough question. Daniel Miller has been answering these tough questions for decades now. I don't think anyone's come up with a phenomenal solution for embargo yet, unless the U.S. really dissolves, like the USSR, then it has no power. But right now, the U.S. government, the big power they have is just embargo, stopping all trade in and out of New Hampshire. But yeah, I'm not that afraid of military. If you actually game it out, what are they going to do? Literally send spec ops to go door to door and kill every one of us? It won't be successful because I'll shoot back and I'll take out five of them. But also, like... it would be a kind of a tough sell, just go door to door and kill every single person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, while that's definitely going to be an objection that people have, I don't think that it's realistic, obviously, that sort of thing will happen. I also don't think it's realistic they're going to starve us out or anything like that. But all that aside, the objection, actually, I should have been more specific, from Republicans is, what about the military? We need protection. So their concern was, we love the military. We want the military. This is what, because they can see why the federal government is bad in so many different areas, but they just love the military.
Well, and there's no reason New Hampshire couldn't join NATO, right?
I don't know.
I wouldn't be a fan of it, but I mean, that could be sold.
I think the best response is, look, we've got a shit ton of machine guns here. I think New Hampshire's got like the number one.
That being said, we do have the smallest of all 50 National Guards, I believe.
Is that right?
So realistically, I have a libertarian side and I have a military side because I've been in the Middle East. I understand there are some bad dudes. Some Middle Eastern bad dudes. Xi Jinping's a bad dude. Putin's a bad dude. Most politicians are bad dudes. So we would need some kind of defense. I don't like even the government existing, but we would have people that voluntarily associated and trained, kind of like we do now with, you know, gun shirts, but maybe a little more serious. And we would beef up that National Guard or have big, strong militia groups. Right now, New Hampshire is not prepared to take on Xi Jinping and Putin. We're just not, militarily. So we would have to beef up something, because we do have a very small actual defense force. So yes and no, it's an issue, but that I think we could improve.
Yeah, and I don't want to bog this discussion down into the details of, you know, what all the objections will be, but since Mike was talking about the Republicans, I wanted to bring up the number one Republican objection that I've heard, which is we need a military. And I think pointing out that New Hampshire is well armed and willing to defend itself is a fine comeback to that. Matt, you've been just kind of sitting quietly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if it was feasible, if New Hampshire did secede and the rest of the Union stayed intact, it's not there's no foreign threat. I mean, the United States isn't going to let foreigners set up shop and invade a small nation, you know, that it's going to consider basically. I mean, we're always going to be kind of part of America. They're going to consider us part of them, whether whatever the political union is. So I really just don't think it's a threat. It's just convincing other people of that, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's
Matt, you're totally right, but you forget that U.S. presidents have given, they just approved like a day ago, the sale of how many square miles in Texas to like China, who just the Chinese government just bought 200 square miles in Texas. So these people are the highest level of scum. Who knows?
Let's talk about approaches legislatively on this. I mean, you guys, Mike, certainly you're the expert in the room. You know, my thought was a constitutional amendment would be the appropriate way to go about this, but maybe a two-pronged approach of one, constitutional amendment, because obviously that has to get through the legislature and I believe signed by the governor in order to appear on the ballot and then get, what, two-thirds to pass, if I recall correctly?
I think that's right, yeah.
It's a tough road, but it would certainly get a conversation started, but maybe a two-pronged of proposing, on one hand, a constitutional amendment, and on the other hand, a nullification legislation, maybe doing things like, and I'd love to hear other ideas, but, you know, removing an allegiance to the United States from the oath of office, removing references to the United States from various different statutes, breaking up with the federal government on a financial basis. Obviously, we don't take money for seatbelts. Let's see what other areas, you know, the state is taking money and, you know, break up, say, oh, look, we're not sending you any money. We're not going to take any money, even though we're still in the union. So maybe have like the totally radical amendment and then the legislation that might be a little more, you know, reasonable by comparison. That's sort of my thoughts.
Right. So I would say, because I think realistically, we know that none of this is actually going to pass.
Sure.
So why don't we go with that and make this kind of the entry, trial balloon that's, you know, super soft and gentle and cuddly, and we can talk about it as opposed to rejecting it out of hand. So we drop the, you know, nullification word is probably another bad one. So, you know, we've had things in the past, and I guess we could go look up the history. Dan Issa has put through things like the, Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, I think, that were essentially nullification. They've already been floated out there, so we could probably dig that up, see what's possible there. But even if it's, let's just, you know, spitballing an idea, let's say we have a study committee or a commission to look at possible paths forward if, you know, the United States itself dissolves. If there are no longer 50 states, what are those paths going to look like? We have a lot of connections in our statutes to all sorts of federal regulations and agencies. That would be something to look at, how we would divorce our way out of that if you know, we no longer saw the federal government as an entity to which we gave authority in the beginning. So something like that, and then a constitutional amendment, of course, is a great idea, because that actually gets, you know, the people talking about it. And
right.
If it's packed with messaging that is good for Republicans, then that's going to be something that's going to be, you know, the red meat to bring out the voters in November.
And I think there's going to be a lot more support than we think about this. There was recently a poll that was done nationwide, and I don't know how many of y'all saw this. I'm guessing, Elliot, you probably spotted this, where they did a nationwide poll, and they asked people, would you support your state seceding and then joining a new union, including surrounding states? So when they looked at New England, it wasn't just New England. It was like New England, New York, Pennsylvania, all the way down to D.C. So it was a huge, horrible, terrible proposal. But yet there was still something like 34% of people who supported it, and actually more people on the left supported that particular proposal than people on the right. Down south, it was like 66% of Republicans supported it. Out west, there were a lot of lefties that supported, you know, California and the Pacific Coast breaking off. So there was like a surprisingly high number of people. Like, as far as like, do we have a good starting point? Yeah, if you go based on this, these numbers, we definitely do. And it would be really even more interesting to see what just New Hampshire thinks. You know, what would the people of New Hampshire say? And that poll obviously hasn't been done. And so putting something in like a constitutional amendment is going to get that conversation started. And honestly, I'm really interested in hearing the objections at a hearing, you know, because every bill's got to have a hearing. So what are the state agents going to say, you know, when they come out, oh, well, we need federal money. You know, what are their objections going to be? And it'll be good for us to be able to come up with responses to those because, you know, 2 years later, we can put the same thing forward and then we'll know what they're going to say. Elliot?
I think one of the big objections we always get is people think it's illegal, unconstitutional.
Yeah, that'll be.
We're not allowed to leave the union. Ian, you signed a contract. The Constitution's a binding contract forever for perpetuity. You know, they say that crap. So I've developed, I think, a few decent answers. Again, statists who don't have brains, they don't comprehend the answer. But I think some of the good answers is, number one, it's totally constitutional. Number two, every state only entered the union, you know, because they allowed permission to leave if they ever wanted to leave. Like, when you give permission, you also can rescind permission. But the big thing is, if they say it's a contract, literally the most universal law of all contracts in the universe is, if one side totally breaches it, the other side can walk away because it's null and void, right? And has the U.S. government violated the U.S. Constitution? Yes. Especially Republicans say, oh yeah, they violate my Second Amendment with gun laws, right? Same with First Amendment and Fourth and Fifth and Tenth and Ninth. So the government violated it a million times. Even if it is a contract, we can call it null and void 100% according to all contract law in the world.
No doubt. So what's the next step here? I mean, Mike, it sounds like you're on board with these ideas. I see Russell is raising his hand there. Go ahead if you want to speak up.
Yeah, just a little thing back to what you said, Mike. I totally agree that we have to take it really easy at the beginning. Like in Texas, they just wanted to have a vote to vote. I mean, it's like a vote to contemplate a vote to maybe someday vote. They were going for so little. So I agree. Just take it really easy because we're going to lose anyhow.
That's actually why I disagree.
I mean, I disagree with that too.
If we're going to lose anyway, go all the way out.
Go for the gold. Ask for what you really want, and then you take everybody's temperature on that.
Didn't you also mention, Mike, that in some ways, yeah, if you're going to lose, you can do the constitutional amendment because why not talk about it? Yeah.
Right. And using words like New Hampshire independence, I think that makes sense. You know, like Mike was saying, stay away from secession. Talk about New Hampshire independence. It puts the focus on New Hampshire. People in New Hampshire love New Hampshire, and they really don't like the federal government. And once they start thinking about it, they're going to be like, wait, we can keep all the money that we earn? Okay, yeah, let's do that.
All right, so reading along with Ridley over there, so there's the income tax issue, which is certainly a good one. As far as I can tell, we are donors to the dear federal government.
That's right.
On the other hand, you know, there's, you know, what happens to Social Security and all that stuff. Goodness, my checks might go away. You know, but I mean, I could move to Costa Rica and still get my checks, right?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you don't rescind your citizenship and you leave and you go to the, you know, whatever other countries, technically, they still want you to pay income tax and they still want you to pay, you know, so presumably they should still pay you Social Security if they've got any obligation whatsoever, like wherever you live in the world.
Yeah, I think the solution is, if New Hampshire was independent, that this people could actually choose to be remain citizens of the United States living in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. And then in that case, they would still be obligated to pay taxes to the federal government and they could receive their benefits and things like that.
But they could not vote in New Hampshire. It'd be a different country.
That's right. It would just be like if they moved to France.
Yeah. Massachusetts isn't too far away. If they really want to vote.
Right. And so, you know, looking at the other comment from Ridley and the, you know, prudence versus audacity, that would suggest that we approach this with two different sponsors so that, you know, you can have the outrageous radical and you can have the mild-mannered, good conservative trying to do the good conservative thing.
So the bill filing is coming up in September, as I understand it. Obviously, there's nothing written at this point. So what's the next step?
Yeah, so deciding who is the sponsor, have a strategy laid out. So the first thing is what exactly is going to get filed and by whom. Once you have those, then you can look at co-sponsors. Just reading along it as Ridley types. And then so all of these things require backup support. We need, I've filed bills in the past on behalf of other folks and, seen absolutely no effort to bring, not even come in and testify on their own. And I know, Ian Freeman brings a crowd with him wherever he goes. So that we can certainly count on. But those things all happen later. Having to do the filing, you just need the sponsor and a pretty good idea of what you want to do in the bill.
Okay. So Matt, should you be the sponsor on this and then get people to co-sponsor it, or should Mike lead this thing? I'm not sure who wants to do this.
Well, I suppose that means we need to back up a step and look at who are best to do these things. I've done enough radical things to put myself on a list for which the governor will sign nothing.
He ain't going to sign this, so that much is for sure.
No. But some people worry about their reputations. Mine's kind of spent at this point as far as the establishment goes. But then again, that also gives me a lot of support for people who are not, the mainstream. And we've got, currently we've got a lot of good reps. We're probably up to, 120, 140 that are pretty reasonable Republican votes, more or less liberty, depending on how the issue is. So we've probably even got a fairly good pool of people who can put forward the reasonable bill. Mm-hmm. And possibly even be supported by some leadership. So we might even look at leadership and say, what do you want to do with that? Go ahead, Elu.
Mike, I just realized you know more than I do about the NHLA. I was going to ask if the most powerful people, or even just if you and me and some others, exert all the pressure in the world we can on the NHLA. I know right now they're ambiguous on the issue. Would they consider endorsing it? And if they endorse the bill, they can carry 50, 100 state reps. And 100 state reps voting for this bill would be tremendous. What do you think of using NHLA and other similar groups to promote this?
Sure. I guess if we get some input from them going into it and see what they like, what they don't like. The more you talk to folks beforehand, the less opposition you have afterwards, because you're going to have things smoothed out. You might be into more of a mild bill if you're doing that to get people on board with it. So, that would be a strategy for something that you wanted to pass, for something that you're not really too concerned about and you want to get the conversation going.
You can go approach the NHLA, right? You still know everyone there?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Just if the NHLA is on board, it doesn't mean we're going to get 100 reps to vote for it either.
10, 20, 30 would be incredible. That would be unbelievable still. Texas got zero. So.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like what we should have here maybe is, if not today, over the next few days, some sort of brainstorming about what should be in the radical bill and what should be in the watered down, easy to accept, whatever you want to call that bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so for some of those things, we can talk. I can talk to some folks at the leadership, some folks that have been around. They're a little bit more established yet Liberty, and see what's possible, what they would support. And for radical stuff, I guess getting a feel for how these things would go over. Do we really want to go full on radical with a constitutional amendment? We could, if there was a lot of support to get people to, outside say, hey, we just want to vote on it. Give it to the people.
Yeah.
It's always the talking point. The people should have a voice in it.
That's true. There are some people who, even though they oppose the idea, would still support the vote, giving people the chance to express themselves.
Yeah, so I guess looking at polling, maybe see what's popular, what moves people. That's kind of your line, Ian. I think you're probably in touch with what goes on out there in the world.
All right. Well, why don't we? I don't think we should spend too long on this call, unless I know Elliot, you had something to present. How long do you think that would take?
It could be however long you guys want.
All right, is everybody okay with watching? Any objections to that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why don't you go ahead and proceed with that, and then we'll move forward.
All right. Obviously, the key is going to be getting people to see it as not radical or reasonable. They're going to have a few objections. Obviously, we have to make them realize that the objections are not sound and that the benefits are tremendous, obviously. And the big challenge is they're going to say it's not legal, which I touched upon, and we can talk about more. And all of us here, I think, can educate people very well, explaining that it's not unconstitutional, it's not illegal. The natural right to leave someone who violates a contract or an abusive partner is natural. A lot of people, like someone mentioned to me the other day, half our budget, about $6.5 billion, so half of that's $3 billion, comes from DC. The answer to that is yes. Well, we send them more than $3 billion, they give it back, but only they give back less and with conditions. And then we touched upon number two as well, the other challenge of we're too small and weak and we're not going to survive. There are plenty of countries that are smaller and weaker with no military, and they've survived just fine. So I think, again, we all know of plenty of good answers that we can mention to people. I wrote a bunch of things about the legality, which I already mentioned earlier. Could we survive? Yes, we'd be fine. Now, does China or Russia want to kill us? Yes, maybe. But, we could all explain why people are wrong about that issue as well. As I mentioned, the grants are a bad thing, not a good thing. It's not free money. They steal our money. They steal 20-30% of my income. And I think this is where we can really get a lot of conservatives on board. They hate taxes in New Hampshire. If we tell them, how would you like to keep another $20,000, $30,000? Then they might perk up and at least start thinking about it. I wrote an article a while ago that was republished by, I think, NHLA and the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, I believe, just of like 12 massive benefits, no more federal taxes of any kind, no more gun laws, because all the gun laws are federal because New Hampshire has no restrictions really. So imagine if we could also have the things that the feds ban, like suppressors and machine guns and SBRs and all that stuff. Another thing we can mention to conservatives, but also libertarians, and maybe even some moderates who care about civil liberties, is a lot of the police state, like 80-90% of the police state issues, civil abuses, spying, surveillance, are actually federal in nature, from the Bearcats, the Grahams, the drones given to Portsmouth police, all the tanks, the civil asset forfeiture. It's all federal. Civil asset forfeiture is a federal doctrine. Without the feds, all that goes away. A lot of conservatives want to scrap the education department. The federal Department of Education goes away if we secede. The Federal Reserve obviously goes away if we secede. No more national ID, worrying about vaccine passports and all that junk if we secede. And for the libertarians and liberals, we won't have to pay for the U.S. government to be fighting battles in every single country in the world, literally spending $20, $30, $50 trillion getting us killed in every country in the world. No more domestic surveillance, as I touched upon. No more asset forfeiture, because that's a federal doctrine. No more economic regulation, which costs the economy $2, $3 trillion a year. So we'd all be richer from keeping $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, and plus another $2 trillion a year just in the cost of regulation and regulatory compliance. So would we prosper? People say we wouldn't prosper. We couldn't survive without the feds. We would thrive. We'd be the richest people in the universe. You know, we'd be so rich, we wouldn't even know what to do with all the money. So I think we'd be just fine. Another big thing that I talk about a lot that people don't mention is right now, a lot of the best activists, you know, we're libertarian, voluntarist, secessionists here, but most of the great activists with a lot of energy in New Hampshire, the conservatives, they spend half their time on local stuff and they spend half their time and money donating to congressional candidates. Right now, at least four of my friends have already announced they're running for CD1. You know how many friends have donated time and money to them? Once we secede, all that money and time and energy, activist energy, which is a scarce resource, stays within the state. So instead of going to beating Chris Pappas, who no one gives a shit about either way, I don't care if he wins or loses, it does not matter to me. Instead of sending thousands of dollars and time and energy door knocking, all that resource will be redirected to people like Ian and Dave and me running for state rep. And if we have an extra, you know, thousands of dollars and thousands of man hours a week, we could do a lot more good. So that's another big benefit no one thinks about of secession. All of our resources for campaigning would stay in the state. And then I just ended here with just, you know, remind conservatives that the polarization is increasing. Antifa and right-wing people are beating each other in the streets. And
yeah, it ain't getting any better, that's for sure.
Yep.
And I think everybody knows that. And I think that's why we're seeing secession numbers rise in these national polls.
Yep.
That looks like a really good presentation, and kudos for putting that together. In fact, it makes me think of the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. Unfortunately, as I said, Carla couldn't join us today, but you've been in their group. I know you were on their Signal chat, Elliot. I unfortunately, due to ridiculous bail conditions, can't be on Signal, so I don't know what's been going on there. But the foundation sort of seems to have been treading water at best over the last several years. There hasn't really been much. I mean, I've been printing up their flyers and distributing them every chance I can get, but I never hear much about, you know, what they're doing, if anything. A quick glance at their board of directors on their website shows Carla, Ian Underwood, and Vince, who unfortunately, as I heard, has left New Hampshire, which is a real loss for our activist community. But it seems like there's probably a board seat that is available, at least one. You know, I'm wondering, have you thought about it, Elliot? Maybe going, you know, talking to Carla and saying, hey, can I snag that board seat? Let's kick some...
Carla asked me if I wanted to be on the board, and I said yes. But now she's away, so we haven't spoken in a bit.
Okay.
But yeah, hopefully we can move forward on that and start doing stuff and getting some action done.
Yeah, because that website, it's got to be updated, especially if something like this is going to be moving forward. They've got some good info on there, but, like, you know, some of your presentation probably should be there. And it probably needs an overhaul to prepare for when these things get put in. And so that would need to happen within the next, you know, month or so. Because we're going to need somewhere to send people, right? There's people that want to get active on this, people that want to learn more. And to me, I mean, I know Dave's got NHExit, but I think that just forwards to like a forum thread right now. I'm not sure what's over at NHExit, but the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, I think, is a nice... They've got some good history, they've got some good information, and it's just, I hate to see it just sort of languishing. So that's just my feedback.
Dave just made a good point in the chat.
Yeah, the main thing is we need a bill that grabs attention. We've been silenced. The media was a censorship storm underway, and we need a bill that addresses that by putting us back on the front pages.
Dave, how I read your chat, I read it a different way. I thought you meant we should maybe focus on one bill primarily. I love the approach of multiple attacks, but if we confuse the media and it gets awkward, you know, that could harm us. If we have one big bill we focus on primarily, and the media all says, House Bill 123, these crazy radicals want to secede, there are 10 co-sponsors on the bill, you know, massive attention, and then, you know, it's trending on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere, House Bill 123. And that's a massive focus. Like, we all knew in Texas it was like House Bill 1274. Like, everyone knows that number. And I want to do a few bills, but maybe we should. I want to hear your feedback. Should we focus on one bill primarily so the media doesn't get confused, because we all know they're idiots, and maybe make one thing, you know what I mean, focus on one?
Yeah, I'm agnostic on the question of how many bills there should be. We've got to have that media attention. We've been silenced, and we need to do something about that. And we need to strike the root. The root is the federal government's domination of New Hampshire.
Well, it sounds to me like people here, not surprisingly on this call, support the radical proposal, and I think that that's the most important thing to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a less radical one that, again, both are probably going to fail. And of course, you know, we can always do something else, some sort of variant the following year. You can't do the same bill twice in a row. You have to wait. But, you know.
Well, it will be a different session after this.
True.
This we'll be into a new term.
Okay. So what's next? Do we, you know, Elliot, should we get together and like spitball some ideas as far as what this should sound like? Mike, I don't know. Do you want to take a crack at it? Like, you know,
I can talk to, you know, some of the other folks in the party, Republicans, and see what they think are good approaches. Might talk to some of the folks that are a little more familiar with the whole street activism. Something that's the thing that'll get attention, you know, in front of the state house, some mm-hmm. sort of display. I don't know, maybe caging Biden or something. some sort of, you know, some media attention grabber that hits the topic. So for me, I can check in with Republicans, look for co-sponsors, and see if we want to do two approaches or just the one.
Okay, I feel like time is of the essence on this, right? Because we don't have more than 4 weeks, I think, at this point.
Yeah, we got a month.
Yeah. So, cool. When should we? What should we do? Circle back around and have another meetup? You know, this weekend or early next week or something like that.
Let me see. Well, I suppose maybe we should see if Carla's got some availability, so that we can get her input. So maybe schedule something around Carla. I'm okay. Fairly right, flexible.
So would you say evenings like 5:30 is good for you generally, Mike?
Sure.
Okay. And Matt, you said you can make pretty much any time work if you've got notice. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Elliot, this is good for you, I presume, late afternoon? Okay. Let's see what we can put together as far as, you know, just chatting over email over the next few days, just throw some ideas out as far as what would we want the most radical sounding constitutional amendment? How would that be written? Maybe everybody should take a crack at it, or whoever feels inspired, you know, take a crack at it, and let's see what comes out. That's sort of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, we have, part first article already.
This is Dave again. One more thought. I would like to reiterate what happened to Dan Itza when he tried sponsoring HCR6 a second time. If you remember, HCR6 was the one that had the 1,000 or the 500 man rally outside the state house. It was sort of secessionistic, the Kentucky resolution. When he submitted it again a few years later, hardly anyone showed up. So that's just something important. That's what I worry about, that we have another HCR6 type situation where it's not exciting enough to get anyone out on the streets.
Yeah.
Do you recall, Dave, what the circumstances were federally? You know, was this an Obama election year or the 2010 retribution?
I think it was 2017, maybe 2018 when ITSA did this. Oh. And I did hear about it in advance and did try to drum up support for it, but it was just nothing. And we did have a little demonstration, but nothing like the first time he submitted it.
Well, 18 would have been a Trump year, so yeah. Trump in office, so you're not going to get a lot of attention from the right side. The left might have been inspired, but you'd have to have not a Dan Itza message for a year like that. We're going into a red meat Republican election in 22. I guarantee you. They are going to be out, and the election is not going to be stolen.
All right.
But what I'm hearing you say, Dave, is radical is what gets people excited. That's what gets people pumped, gets them to come out. And I don't think we're going to have any problem with that. I mean, there's so many libertarian free stater activists here that are supporters of independence. I think we are going to have plenty of people coming out to this just from people that we know. This certainly is not going to be a Dick Marple bill where, you know, there's one sponsor and no one shows up. So I expect it's going to be bigger than I think we're all thinking. And I think a lot of the Liberty reps that are afraid to touch the issue are going to reconsider when they see the amount of people that support this thing. And especially if some polls get done and we start to actually look at, you know, what do New Hampshire people think about this? Because I think that would be interesting as well. So maybe, you know, after something gets filed, we can fund some sort of polling firm to, you know, call around and see what people think.
Well, speaking of the funding side of thing, this can also bleed into a crypto issue too. And, you know, we could be our own little crypto country because one of the issues, you know, we've got the federal government printing more trillions and we have unsound money, and that's going to come back and hurt really bad. And everybody knows it.
The crypto people are mad right now. There have been over the last several days with this infrastructure bill, there's been a whole lot of crypto people watching that real close. Because they're talking about doing severe regulation of things like decentralized finance and all that. So, yeah, we're definitely striking, I think, while the iron is hot here. All right, so why don't we, let's do that. Let's take a crack and, you know, whoever feels inspired to write up a proposed, you know, radical constitutional amendment, what would you want to put in front? What would the language be that you would want to put in front of the voters of New Hampshire that isn't just a, like, should we consider... you know, leaving, that's like, let's go, it's time to go, we're done, you know, violation of the Constitution, blah, 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 whatever. You know, we did this before, it was illegal to leave King George, whether it's legal or not, if there's enough people who say we're gone, there's nothing they can do about it. Elliot?
Mr. Pessimist Ali was back. If this, even if it passes and gets on the ballot, every step of the way, the Secretary of State and every judge in New Hampshire is going to knock it down and say it's unconstitutional, it's illegal, throw it in the garbage. So just no matter what happens, they're going to say it's illegitimate. So just be prepared for that.
All right. Hey, any other thoughts, Matt? You've been sort of absorbing this pretty quietly. Anything else you want to throw out before we wrap this up? It's been almost an hour.
I was just something I didn't even think about that when Mike was talking about the money. People expect the government to make the money. So that might be an objection that we have.
I don't think it will. There's plenty of small countries that still use that actually use the dollar as their official currency. So there'd be no reason why people would have to stop using the dollar if they wanted to continue with that. But obviously, we would have other options like crypto.
Okay. Yeah.
Or goldbacks.
Thanks, everyone, for being here.
Hey, Dave, thanks for being the spearhead on this. Really appreciate it, man.
Well, especially Mike and Matt, because they're the ones who are putting their political heads into the sling more than we are.
Yeah, I do it all the time on a regular basis.
I appreciate that.
Stay tuned.
Thank you, guys.
You really have a lot of backup. You have me, Liberty Block, my entire family. Ian has, you know, Free Talk Live has a tremendous amount of power. You guys have a lot of army behind you.
Yeah, and people don't even know about this yet, so it'll be fun to really, you know, splash something out once we figure it out. All right, thanks, guys. Let's wrap this up and keep in touch via email. We'll get like a little email group with all of us together or something like that. I'll put that together.
Cool. Very good.
Right. Later. Take
thanks, care. Guys.
Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Bye.